This is The Book Group on RNIB Connect Radio. RNIB Talk and Support run telephone social groups for adults with sight loss. There are telebefriending groups which help you socialise by phone for friendship and support, or you can share your passion for books and reading by taking part in a telephone book club. We'll tell you how you can take part in your own telephone social group later on in the show. But for now, let's listen in to our telephone book group on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello there. My name is Alan. I'm 65 and I live in Epping Forest. I've been blind since birth and I have macular dystrophy of the Stargardt type. I love books. I love reading. I love audiobooks. Crime and travel are my favourite genre.
Hello, I'm Peggy. I'm 80. I'm from Scotland, but now I live in West Wales. I have macular degeneration. I've always loved reading. I love anything and everything. I read all sorts of books and always have.
Hello, I'm David. I'm from Chester and I'm 57 years old. I went blind when I was 6 months old and I have very badly scarred retinas. As far as reading goes, I do like a lot of horror fiction. I like some crime fiction and I like a lot of classics.
Hello, I'm Supriya. I come from Aldershot and I'm 42. And I have been blind since I was about 2 years old and I had a condition called retinoblastoma, which is a tumour in the eyes. I like reading classics and any other books, mainly historical fiction, romantic fiction, and I'll try anything once.
Hi, I'm called Peter and I live in Grays, Essex. I'm 91. If you pardon my stammer, by the way, I have a wide taste in books, adventure stories. I've been reading Terry Pratchett recently.
Unfortunately, our group member Ushma wasn't able to join this episode, in which the book group talk about Chocolat by Joanne Harris. Let's have a listen first to the RNIB talking book version, as read by Diana Bishop.
Are we staying? Are we staying here?
I have to remind her to speak French.
But are we? Are we?
She clings to my sleeve. Her hair is a candy floss tangle in the wind.
I consider. It's as good a place as any. L'Ancenay-sur-Tarn, 200 souls at most. No more than a blip on the fast road between Toulouse and Bordeaux. Blink once and it's gone. One main street, a double row of dun-coloured half-timbered houses leaning secretively together, a few laterals running parallel like the tines of a bent fork. A church, aggressively whitewashed, in a square of little shops. Farms scattered across the watchful land. Orchards, vineyards, strips of earth enclosed and regimented according to the strict apartheid of country farming. Here apples, there kiwis, melons, endive beneath their black plastic shells, vines looking blighted and dead in the thin February sun, but awaiting triumphant resurrection by March. Behind that, the Tarn, small tributary of the Garonne, fingers its way across the marshy pasture. And the people? They look much like all others we have known. A little pale, perhaps, in the unaccustomed sunlight. A little drab. Headscarves and berets are the colour of the hair beneath, brown, black or grey. Faces are lined like last summer's apples, eyes pushed into wrinkled flesh like marbles into old dough. A few children, flying colours of red and lime green and yellow, seem like a different race.
A clip there from Chocolat by Joanne Harris, as read by Diana Bishop. But what did the book group think? The facilitator today is Carolyn.
I'm Carolyn. I've been a facilitator since 2009. I'm also an avid reader. Listen to audiobooks, read books, just very keen on books and reading. So today we're here to talk about Chocolat by Joanne Harris. Did you enjoy Chocolat?
Oh yes, this is Peggy, I loved it. Both first time I read it and I'm really enjoying it again. wonderful characters. Rhiannon, and also the priest is a fascinating character because as you discover what has made him how he is, you think he's a pain in the neck, but then you end up feeling really sorry for him.
It's David here. I actually thought the characters were rather better than the plot. I actually found it like a bit like wading through treacle. It was one of those books that when I got to the end of it, I was pleased that I'd read it, but I didn't particularly enjoy it at the time.
This is Supriya. Well, the characters don't particularly stick in mind other than the little child. I like the old lady. Is it Armand?
Armand, yes.
Can't remember her first name. I thought she was quite flamboyant and a really nice character. Can't say it's the best book I've ever read, but it's not the worst, so somewhere in the middle, really.
Alan?
I tried to listen to this book some years ago and didn't finish it, got about a third of the way through and didn't complete. It might have been the time of my life I was reading it. I think sometimes it depends what's going on in your life, the type of book you're reading. And I agree with David. I thought it's a bit lightweight, but lightweight was what I needed this time round. But I actually enjoyed it on the level that I believe the author intended you to interpret it. And I liked, you know, the idea of the central character who opened the shop being her own person, you know, despite coming into a community which was already set in its behaviour and attitude, hardworking, humility and conformity, the order that the church gave the town or the village. And she held her own beliefs and pursued them. I enjoyed that, you know. But I thought it was too wordy for what it was. But this is the interesting twist that I hope might be interesting to listeners. I got through the book, and it did just that for me. It was entertaining enough. The development of character was reasonable. And I can say that I enjoyed it. It's certainly more enjoyment than the first time round. And that's the joy of being in a book club, of course, because you make a commitment to read it. It takes you sometimes out of your comfort zone. I'm glad it did, but this is the twist. I found that I could download the movie. So I did. And as we all know, regretfully at this time, although it's going to change, audio description doesn't work. That we don't get audio description when we do a download. I think it was the Channel 4 movie channel.
Right.
And I sat through the movie yesterday. So I've now read the book. And I've seen the heard the movie on telly. And very interesting, because never in my life has anyone said to me, what did you prefer, the book or the movie? And usually I've read the book, before.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I've always said, by far, the book. The book takes it every time because of its detail and opportunity for you to put your imagination, your own imagination, into the book. Yes?
Yes.
But I actually enjoyed the movie, despite it not being audio described, despite it having Johnny Depp in it, who he's not one of my favourite actors, but he was very good in this, and obviously had one of my favourite actresses in it, although it would be a small part, which was Judi Dench.
Mm.
And I actually enjoyed it. Without audio description, there was a slight good narration at the beginning, in the middle, where it did a backstory about her father and the breakup of her mother and father's marriage and breaking away. So that was good. That was a narration. And at the end, the narrator came back. This is the movie. And I actually really enjoyed the movie. And I think on a scale of 10, I would give the movie 8 and the book 6.
As
a gay, which is very, very unusual.
There once was a town that believed in tranquility at any cost. If you saw something you weren't supposed to see, you looked the other way. Then one day, a sly wind blew in from the north, and with it, strangers.
These people are not welcome.
Ayachi's an atheist. What's that? Don't know.
Opening a chocolaterie just in time for Lent.
Shameless, isn't it?
Would you like to come in for some chocolate?
What about boycott immorality, then?
Was the movie true to the book? Because sometimes there's too much artistic license in these.
Yeah, there's a lot of artistic license. For instance, in the book, I really like the dynamic between the mayor, or the equivalent of a mayor that we'd have in this country in the town, and the priest. I thought that was a very good exchange. And there were bits that were missing. You're absolutely right, Sabrina. You know, when a director or producer puts a movie together, they'd have editorial rights unless the author has preserved them. And in this case, yes, it was. But you see, it shortened it. I mean, I think the movie, I didn't time it, but it was probably about 1 hour, 40 minutes, where the book listening is over 9 hours. So clearly they can't put everything into 1 hour, 40 minutes. But I actually enjoyed it for what it was. And it's, left me looking at the characters again. And it enhanced the book, actually. The book would have got 5 if it wasn't that I actually spent an hour and 40 minutes of my life sitting through the movie. The point I really want to draw out, and I don't know if the rest of you agree, is that when you're part of a movie, watching a movie, and now, luckily, we're getting more and more audio description, the visual pictures are painted for you. They're described for you, you know. But when you watch a movie without the audio description, or the book, this certainly applies to the book, there's so much of it, like the river people, the riverbank people, the river and the environment around the river, around the village and town. I had a picture of that in my head, and it wasn't disturbed by listening to the movie without audio description. I still carried those images I created in my mind from the book. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's probably one of the good things about being blind. You still have the same imagination rather than being swayed by what's on the screen.
Yeah.
It's David here. I would be interesting to know how they would have tackled that if they'd done a radio dramatisation of it. I've read an awful lot of books over the years which has been inspired by my listening to radio dramatisations. I think this would have been quite interesting because then obviously there's no pictures at all, so they have to have a lot more dialogue and probably a narrator for this kind of story. So I think that might have been really interesting.
Actually, the bells woke us. I hadn't realised quite how close we were to the church until I heard them. A single low resonant drone falling into a bright carillon. Dum, fla-di-da-di-dum, on the downbeat. I looked at my watch. It was 6 o'clock. Grey-gold light filtered through the broken shutters onto the bed. I stood up and looked out onto the square, wet cobbles shining. The square white church tower stood out sharply in the morning sunlight, rising from a hollow of dark shop fronts. A bakery, a florist, a shop selling graveyard paraphernalia, plaques, stone angels, enamelled everlasting roses. Above their discreetly shuttered facades, the white tower is a beacon, the Roman numerals of the clock gleaming redly at 6:20 to baffle the devil, the Virgin, in her dizzy eyrie, watching the square with a faintly sickened expression.
What did you think of the voices of the narrators?
It was one of those voices that was neither pleasant nor unpleasant. It was just there. It was just, you know, some narrators are fabulous and some are awful. This was neither. I mean, she was competent.
She was exactly that. You know, I didn't think, wow, this is a fantastic reader. It's going to bring added value to the book. I never thought that at any time.
And she's quite neutral, yeah.
But, I mean, David, you said that you were glad that you'd read the book but weren't massively impressed. Do you think the narrator had something to do with that?
I don't think so. I don't think it's really my kind of book.
Right. Peter, I don't think you've had a chance yet to say, what did you think of the book?
I think it was character-driven and there's not a very strong plot. It wasn't my style, actually, but...
It wouldn't be the kind of book that you would normally listen to.
It was quite well written, I must admit, but it was lacking in a strong plot, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Book Group on RNIB Connect Radio. and we'll have more after this.
RNIB. Supporting people with sight loss.
Would you like to chat over the telephone with a group of like-minded people? RNIB's award-winning telephone social groups are small, friendly and lots of fun. A great way of making new friends and a chance to socialise without leaving the comfort of your home. To join, telephone RNIB Talk and Support on 0845 330 3723 or email talkandsupport@rnib.org.uk. RNIB is a membership organisation. To join, visit rnib.org.uk/membership.
And we'll repeat those details at the end of today's show. Now back to our discussion of Chocolat, which does contain some major plot spoilers.
Did anyone feel at all sorry for Reno, particularly at the end? Or
this is Peggy. Yes, I definitely did. Once you got to the book where you hear about what happens as a child with his mother and the old priest, you do feel this is obviously, it's coloured his whole life, and he was led astray, if you like, by the old priest. And I did end up feeling really sorry for him, but I loved the book. And I thought, I was listening to the RNIB disc, and I thought the narrator was fine. She didn't intrude on the story, if you like. And it's not a strong story, but it's more about people and about the place and about people's prejudices too, obviously.
Is David here? Yeah, Peter's quite right. It was very character-driven. But there was one thing in its favour is I did like the descriptions of the town and particularly the festival at the end. And the atmosphere towards it had a really nice kind of... I know it was set sort of February, March time, but you can imagine France in the summer with people wearing gaudy clothes and, you know, sort of being really cheerful and spring-like. It did have that kind of atmosphere about it. I thought the idea that it was set in February and March, I mean, you know why it was set in February and March, but it would have fitted easily in the, you know, June or July time. It had a summery feel about it.
A warm wind for February, laden with the hot, greasy scents of frying pancakes and sausages and powdery sweet waffles cooked on the hot plate right there by the roadside, with the confetti sleeting down collars and cuffs and rolling in the gutters like an idiot antidote to winter. There is a febrile excitement in the crowds which line the narrow main street, necks craning to catch sight of the crepe-covered Shah and its trailing ribbons and paper rosettes. Anouk watches, eyes wide, a yellow balloon in one hand and a toy trumpet in the other, from between a shopping basket and a sad brown dog. We have seen carnivals before, she and I. A procession of 250 of the decorated Shahs in Paris last Mardi Gras. 180 in New York. 2 dozen marching bands in Vienna. Clowns on stilts. The Grosse Tête with their lolling papier-mâché heads. Drum majorettes with batons spinning and sparkling.
This is Peggy. Perhaps one of the reasons why I loved it so much was that I love France. And particularly, you know, rural France, and we like visiting small towns. And it did, you're right, it did convey the atmosphere.
But it put you there, didn't it? You were there at the carnival, weren't you?
Yeah,
and the festival.
This is Supriya. It's the sort of book you have to read with a big bar of chocolate next to you, though. All the mouth-watering descriptions of chocolate. Yeah. Oh, that's one of the best points for me.
Actually, I was eating chocolate while I watched the movie version.
I think you have to. How can you not? But it's absolutely amazing. There's another point I'd like to make while we're on it. This isn't what I should normally say as a criticism of the book, but to me, the business and how it took off and how quickly it took off and how many people came and whatever in a small village didn't ring true. I don't think that's quite possible to have a business and be so successful so quickly and to open a shop which is not cheap, chocolates and special drinks and so on, and in a small village like that, it just didn't ring true to me, I'm afraid.
I think as well, Supriya, from memory, when they were talking about it, she seemed to give away an awful lot of chocolate.
Yeah,
so I couldn't
exactly.
quite work out how she made a living from...
Yeah, you have to buy the supplies and the ingredients to make more. If you don't make any money, I can't see how she was managing to do that, especially given her background. You know, and also I thought it was very disruptive for the child to be taken from one place to the other, and the sort of lifestyle that she lived, and at the ending you don't know whether she's moving on again.
In the movie, she decides to stay a while.
Good.
Yeah, so you were asking me what the difference was, and that was obviously a major. Sorry to be a spoiler for you,
Peggy.
Oh,
that's okay. I'll watch the movie. Anyway.
Yeah, but I think it's worth, if you can. It's a download, you know, and it's not audio described. So, but I think the other I found it amusing that she could guess what your favourite chocolate was. You know.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'd love to go into the Apple store and they guess what Apple device I would like, you know, and give it to free.
Yes, well, there was a sort of hint of sort of witchcraft or mysticism in the background, although it was more about seeing things rather than actually doing any magic.
Yeah.
Madame? A small, smudgy face peered suspiciously up at me. I recognised the wolf from the Mardi Gras parade. Now, I have you down as a peanut brittle man. I kept my face serious, for this purchase of sweets is serious business. It's good value, easy to share, doesn't melt in your pockets, and you can get, I indicated with hands held apart, this much at least for 5 francs. Am I right? No answering smile, but a nod, as of one businessman to another. The coin was warm and a little sticky. He took the packet with care.
My best part of the book, I was actually screaming, said, yes, when the priest was destroying her shop and all the time she was there behind the curtain watching him. And the way she dealt with it was absolutely, that's probably the best, my favourite chapter in the book.
Yeah, she was very sanguine about the whole thing, wasn't she? There was no sort of freneticness about it. She was just there and stopped him and took his cudgel away. And
very forgiving.
And he didn't manage to destroy too much of the stock anyway. There was enough.
He ate quite a lot of it.
He ate quite a lot of it, Piggy.
I turn, holding my cudgel, desperate for time. She is waiting for me, watching from behind the bead curtain. I have no way of knowing how long she has watched me. A tiny smile curves her lips. Very gently she takes the cudgel from my hand. Between her fingers she is holding something which looks like a charred piece of coloured paper. A card, maybe. And that was how they saw me, Pear. Crouching in the ruins of her window, face smeared with chocolate, eyes haggard. From nowhere, people seemed to come running to her aid. Duplessis, with his dog lead in one hand, standing guard at the door.
She was showing the tendencies that the priest should have had, the forgiveness and the turning the other cheek and stuff, qualities that he was unable to.
Point, isn't it? You don't have to be religious to have humanity and kindness and good heart.
Yeah.
No, for a priest, he was definitely seemed to be lacking in Christian charity.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
But in the movie, his sermon, his final sermon, changed the whole thinking of the village. You know, by saying you don't measure anyone by success or business, you measure them by their behaviour, basically, how they are to their fellow man. So they were actually quite. Now we're discussing it as a group. There are quite a lot of messages that you carry in everyday life. So it's suddenly becoming a more serious book than I thought. But I still think it was lightweight reading.
This is Peggy. I enjoyed it. It was nice, light, entertaining, and I've been reading a lot of very sort of long and fairly heavy books somehow recently, so it was a nice change to have something that was light entertainment.
So in general, do you find that with books, the book has got to come along at the right time, you know, that can make the difference between whether you enjoy or don't enjoy a book?
This is Supriya. It doesn't apply to me, no.
No, I don't think it does to me either, really.
No, I would agree with that. I think sometimes I've picked up books and put them down because I've just not in the mood for them.
It's more to do with stages of life. There are books that I would never read now that I read when I was a youngster, and there were books that I would have read as a youngster that I would never read now. So, you know, I read the Herries Chronicles, for example, when I was in my 30s. I would never have read those when I was in my 20s. I mean, they just wouldn't have suited me. But yeah, that's more to do with life stages rather than any kind of mood.
Or
background to my life.
When I was younger, I read a lot of historical romance novels, which don't really interest me now, Georgette Heyer and people like that, which I wouldn't really read now, but I did enjoy them when I was in my teens and 20s, I suppose.
Have any of you read any other Joanne Harris books, or is she not an author that you really have much to do with?
Only Chocolat and Crocodile Shoes.
Well, I'm not opposed to reading more. If I get my hands on another one, I will read it.
Yeah.
I would read more of her stuff, definitely. I thought some of her, you know, observations of people and life were quite sharp.
Yeah, so the majority is, you think then, that it wouldn't put you off reading another Joanne Harris?
No, definitely not. Mm.
It wouldn't be at the top of my reading list.
No, if I was stuck for something to read, I might do, but otherwise I don't think so.
No.
I think it's Peggy here. I think possibly it's, in some ways, it's more of a woman's book than a man's book. There's not a lot of action, if you like, in it.
Well, I think that thing's being slightly harsh on male readers.
I read
many of the classics are, if you like, female point of view and orientated, and I love those books.
Mm.
I think that's slightly harsh on the male. That's a bit sort of stereotypical.
I wasn't meaning to be harsh on the male, just more that it's possibly...
Yeah.
There's a more sentimental side to it. I mean, not obscene that not that all men aren't sentimental. Some of them are very sentimental.
But, well, I've read lots of George Eliot and the Brontes, and I enjoyed those very much.
Yeah, exactly that.
The classics have stood the test of time, haven't
they?
Exactly,
yeah. Yeah, they have, yeah.
Do any of you find that you reread that sort of perhaps more modern ones, or are the books that you reread more likely to be the ones considered classics?
Sometimes someone could make an observation about a book that you've read, and they've seen it in a different light than you interpreted it, and I've gone back and revisited
that
book. You know, that's one of the advantages, I think, of being part of a group discussion about a book. You know, that can certainly happen.
It brings out things that you may have missed in the book.
Yes. It's funny how it's gone with audiobooks. From having very little choice, or if you had how far back you go, having no choice at all, relying on goodwill of people reading to you, we now have multiple choice of readers and different style of readers to read books, download discs. You know, talking books have run throughout this, and I'm a totally committed talking book person, and always, I think it is really the flagship of the RNIB. All the services they run, you know, I think the talking book service is tremendous.
It is so much better for us now than it used to be.
Yes, absolutely, Peggy.
And this choice now of how you listen to them as well. Like my book thing, which you can carry around with you and listen to your book anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I use the Victor Reader Stream, and I have that on in the gym when I'm doing my exercise. If I get my teeth into a really good book, it helps me get through the exercise.
Brilliant.
Takes your mind off.
I think a good book will help you through anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yes, well, no, thank you all very much.
And thanks
all
again, right. Caroline, for listening.
Oh, you're welcome. Right. You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay, thank
Bye.
You then. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Someone has left the conference. Someone has left the conference. Someone
to join a group, either telebefriending or a telephone book club, please email talkandsupport@rnib.org.uk or call one of the two following numbers: 0845 330 3723 or 0207 391 2218. Thanks to RNIB Talk and Support. You've been listening to The Book Group on RNIB Connect Radio.